translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord, who is supreme and is the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that He may smilingly bestow His benediction upon me by opening His lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking His directions. Please repeat. The Lord, who is supreme and the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that He may smilingly bestow His benediction upon me by opening His lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking His directions. Purport. The Lord is ever increasingly merciful upon the fallen souls of this material world. The whole cosmic manifestation is a chance for all to improve themselves in devotional service to the Lord, and everyone is meant for that purpose. The Lord expands Himself into many personalities who are either self-expansions or separated expansions. The personalities of the individual souls are His separated expansions, whereas the self-expansions are the Lord Himself. The self-expansions are predominators, and the separated expansions are predominated for reciprocation of transcendental bliss with the supreme form of bliss and knowledge. The liberated souls can join in this blissful reciprocation of predominator and predominated without materially concocted ideas. The typical example of such a transcendental exchange between the predominator and the predominated is the Lord's Rasalila with the gopis. The gopis are predominated expansions of the internal potency, and therefore the Lord's participation in the Rasalila dance is never to be considered like the mundane relationship of man and woman. It is rather the highest perfectional stage of the exchange of feelings between the Lord and the living entities. The Lord gives the fallen souls the chance for this highest perfection of life. Lord Brahma is entrusted with the management of the complete cosmic show, and therefore he prays that the Lord bestow His blessings upon him so that he may execute its purpose. So savadapra karuno bhagavan vavritha prema smitena nayanam buruhang vichrim bhan utaya vishva vijayaya chano vishadam madhya girapanayatat purushah paranaha. The Lord, who is supreme and is the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that He may smilingly bestow His benediction upon me by opening His lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic manifestation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking His directions. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistang Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagra Jata Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vansha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaurabhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I request the blessings of all the devotees assembled here and those listening online, that I may say something relevant, hopefully inspiring to somebody, and in line with Srila Prabhupada's impeccable and well-presented philosophy, which really distinguishes the Hare Krishna movement from so many other branches of Hinduism. We have a very strong philosophy that we lead with. I was recently in India. So if you go to a temple, you don't know what anyone's thinking, but everyone's worshipping the deity, and it doesn't really matter what you think. But when you come to the ISKCON centres, there is a clear philosophy, and that's what distinguishes us, and it's very, very important, because Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati said, if we do not get the philosophy right, our bhav will not be right. Ultimately, we want bhav. The word in this verse is prema, special word. It doesn't appear, practically doesn't appear in the Bhagavad Gita. It appears sometimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it appears many, many times in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's a very special word, prema. It is distinguished from the word kam. Kam and prema are the opposites. You know, kam, ata eva kama prema, bahuta antara, kama andatama, prema nirmala bhaskara. Prema is like the bright shining sun. Kama is like the darkness of ignorance. Right? So it's actually relevant to today's purport, because Srila Prabhupada is mentioning the gopis and the Lord dancing with the gopis. And from the moral perspective, it looks like it's not right. But if we understand prema to be the bright sun and kama to be darkness, then everything fits together, you see. The relationship between kama and prema, it's simultaneously they are opposites, but at the same time, they're similar. Atmendriya Prativancha, Taribolikam, Krishnendriya Priticha, Dori Premanam. They're both based on desire, but one is desire for personal sense gratification, and one is desire for Krishna's gratification. Kama Prema Donghakara, Vibhina Lakshana, Lauha Arhema Jaichi, Swarupi Vilakshana. Just as iron and gold, in one sense, are very similar, in the other sense, they're very different. So you get simultaneous similarity and difference when we compare kama and prema. And therefore, sometimes the word kama is even used in relation to the gopi's love for Krishna. So yes, it's important that we get the philosophy correct. So here's a question for you. And I know that at least one person in this room will definitely know the answer for this. Where is this verse found, written down, in this room? In this extended room? Yes? This verse, the verse that we were chanting today, is obviously in the Bhagavatam, but you'll find this verse written elsewhere, very close to where I am sitting. Yeah? In the Pujari room, yes, exactly. So this is one of the verses we chant when we wake up Krishna. So I'm going to read to you, there's two other verses. I'm going to read to you this section of the Deity Worship Manual, which is a wonderful creation, and Ananta Gopal takes a lot of credit for that, because there's a lot to know being a Pujari. It's very daunting if you want to take on this service, how are you going to actually get it all right? Fortunately, we have a manual which is very nicely written out. So if you do a new service, or if you haven't done an old service for a while, then you can refresh, because it's all nicely written out. And there's all the procedures and all the mantras. So here's a little section from this book. This is how we wake up Krishna, which we do 3:45 in the morning. And what time in the afternoon? Is it the same? Yes. So exactly 12 hours later, we wake up the Lord again. Okay, he has a little nap during the day. We have the beds out in the morning, but the afternoon nap is not as elaborate. While ringing a bell just outside the deity room, you may chant the following verses, meditating on the Lord awakening, begging him to bestow his mercy. So sava dabra karuno bhagavan vrvidha premasmatina nayanam buruham vijirmban utaya vishva vijayaya chano vishadam myadva girapanaya tat purusha purana. The Lord, who is supreme and is the oldest of all, is unlimitedly merciful. I wish that he may smilingly bestow his benediction upon me by opening his lotus eyes. He can uplift the entire cosmic creation and remove our dejection by kindly speaking his directions. Here's the next verse. Deva prapanati hara prasadam kurukejava avalokanadhanena buyomam parayachuta. O Kejava, O infallible Lord, O you who remove the distress of the surrendered souls, please bestow your mercy upon me by again awarding me your transcendental glance. Next verse. Jai Jai Kripamoya Jagatera Nata Sarva Jagateri Koro Subhadrishtapata. All glories to the merciful Lord of the universe. O Lord, please cast your auspicious glance upon all the worlds. So here's a question. What do these three verses have in common? There's actually a couple of things they have in common, and it relates to what I want to talk about today. Anyone? There's several things in common with these. One is mercy. It's bestowing mercy. But how is the mercy being bestowed? Glance, yes. It's a large glance. So this is a very important aspect of our philosophy, that actually we are not the seer. So there's a Sanskrit word for seer. Anyone know the Sanskrit word for seer? Drashta. And what's the word for seen? Drishya. And what's the word for seeing? Darshan. Darshan. You see? So there's three words. Drashta, the seer. Drishya, the object of vision. And darshan, the act of seeing. And if you think about it, there can be no seeing without a seer and an object. Every act of seeing requires two things, a seer and an object. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he commented extensively on this topic. And there's actually a chapter in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which is the biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, written by Bhaktivikas Swami. And there's a chapter called Drig Drishya Vichar. And this is actually very much essential to our philosophy. And I'm going to read you a few little quotes from Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. Drashta the seer and Drishta the seen, are we Drashta or Drishya? Whatever I have to say, my whole message is based on proper comprehension of this truth. But how few people have really understood this Drig Drishya Vichar. So notice how he says, this is whatever I have to say, my whole message is based on this. So we can understand that this is a very important point. Now you think about it, if you're entering the deity room, you may be thinking, I'm going to see Krishna. But actually the verses, we're not saying that. We're saying Krishna is mercifully going to glance upon me. And we don't expect that glance. We have to receive it by mercy. We have to pray for it. If we don't pray for the glance, how will we get it? Now, what happens when the Lord glances on us is it awakens our divine vision. We, or with our material senses, we cannot actually see Krishna. But if Krishna awakens our divine vision, then we can actually see Krishna. So back to Sananda Sarasvati, he says, eyes of flesh can never chalk out the Satchidananda Vigraha. Only persons who realize themselves as Drishya, whose eyes see by hearing from Shastra or by chanting the holy names, may have darshan of the Satchidananda reality. So this term, hearing, see by hearing from Shastra, it's very relevant. And there's a verse in this chapter, from Bhakti Yoga Paribhavata Hrit Saroja, Ase Shrutekshtapato Nanunata Pumsham, Yadya Diyata Urugaya Vibhavayantu Tadtad Vapuh Pranayase Sadanukrahaya. The meaning of this is the Lord is situated in the lotus of our hearts. And by his mercy, he may reveal himself, tadadiya taurugaya, according to our desire. The Lord has many forms. Why does he have many forms? Because we have many desires. We want to see him in so many ways. We want to see him as Nrsingadev. We want to see him as Lord Chaitanya, etc. So therefore he appears in that way. But how does he appear? Shrutekshita pat. And here's this is the key word. Shruta ikshita pat means the path of seeing, ikshita, shruta, through hearing. So this is how we hear. This is how we see. We see through hearing. It's like the dog sees with the nose. The fruitive worker sees with the eyes. But the devotee sees with the ears. That's shruta ikshita pat. There's another statement in the same chapter. Ye tu tvadiya charanam buruham na charanam boja koshagandam jigranti karna vivarai shrutivatanitam. That we can smell the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord, shruti vata nitam, carried by the air, vata, of shruti, the scriptural sound. So this is another example. Not only do we see through the ears, we also smell the fragrance of the Lord's lotus feet through the ears. So the ears are very, very important. So I'm going to carry on reading a few more excerpts from this wonderful book. A bogi who attempts to enjoy this world considers himself drashta and everything else, including the Supreme Lord, to be drishya, his object of vision, darshan. So this is the fault if we go before the Lord thinking that we are seeing the Lord. That is our fault. And actually we won't see the Lord if we have that mentality. Instead, we're actually coming before the Lord so that he may mercifully see, glance upon us. And that is actually why we attend Mangalarti. The purpose of attending Mangalarti is so that Krishna may see us. He wants us to come, so we're coming for attendance. And he's noticing to see who's attending and who's not attending, you see. Due to their bitter experience of this world, so-called renouncers wish to deny the plurality of drashta, drishya, and darshan, and thus regard them as one. Only devotees have the proper vision to appreciate that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and alone is fully independent and no one's servant, but being drashta should be served by all, for the jivas and all else that be are drishya, objects of his darshan. So if there's one thing to take away from this class, try and see yourself as drishya from now on. You are an object of Krishna's vision. And as such, you should act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. So as I mentioned previously, this is central to the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he also said something that Prabhupada would often quote, don't try and see Krishna, act in such a way that Krishna wants to see you. So, and in this connection, if you read the pastime of how Narad Muni, it's in the first canto, he had a momentary darshan of the Lord sitting under a banyan tree, and then he became very, very perturbed because he lost that vision. If you attain something very, very valuable and you lose it, you become very unhappy. And what was the solution? The solution was he actually went wandering like a paravrajak and engaged in serving the Lord. And Prabhupada explains that devotional service is seeing the Lord. He doesn't say it leads to seeing the Lord or it's like seeing the Lord. He says that it is seeing the Lord. So there is no difference between seeing the Lord and engaging in devotional service. And what is the famous verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that says this? How service Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhi Hijivadau Swayam Eva Spurachada. Spurati means seeing. So how do we see? Once again, it's from hearing. We hear the holy name, you see. So this is a wonderful philosophy. Now what does Prabodhananda say? What happens if we gain the merciful glance of Lord Chaitanya. Yat karunya kataksha vai bhavavatam tam gora eva stumaha. We pray to Lord Gauranga that he may mercifully bestow his kataksha, meaning sidelong glance. So what happens to us if we receive this glance? Our vision, as in our vision of life, completely changes. Kaivalyam narakayate tridashapur akasha pushpayate. First thing that happens is the wonderful bliss of merging with the Supreme, the ultimate liberation, becomes detestable like hell. Kaivalyam narakayate. And then the wonderful enjoyment of the heavenly planets, tridashapur akasha pushpayate, becomes an illusion, just like flowers in the sky. Durdan tendriya kala sarpa patala pratkata dangstrayati. That the senses, which are like the fangs of a serpent, which are always victimizing us, they become broken. So if we want to control our senses, then if we get the sidelong glance of Lord Gauranga, then that will happen. And then, what's the next line? Vishvam purna sukhayati. The universe becomes very, very pleasing because one has connection with Krishna. For a pure devotee, there is no suffering in this world. The only suffering the pure devotee will experience is compassion for those that are suffering. But of his own accord, no suffering, because one is with Krishna. And then, Vishvam Purna Sakayati, Vidhi Mahendra Jishta Kitayati. Vidhi, which means Lord Brahma, and Mahendra, Lord Shiva, they become, the posts become insignificant, just like insects. You see? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he would rather be born as an insect in the house of a devotee than to be a Bahirmukha Brahma. Lord Brahma, the highest post in the universe. If this Brahma, our Brahma, is Krishna on Unmukha, he's a devotee. Therefore, he's in our parampara. But in some universes, Brahma may be Bahirmukha. He's not a devotee of Krishna. So one would rather be an insect in the house of a devotee than a Bahirmukha Brahma. This is how our vision should be. Yesterday we were singing bhajans. One of the bhajans we were singing, Kada Karishyasi Hamam Kataksha Kripa Banjana. This is the prayer that we may get the sidelong glance of Radharani. Once again, if we get Radharani's mercy, then everything will fall into place. And Prabhupada even says it's very hard to become Krishna conscious, to get the darshan of Krishna. But if you get the recommendation of Srimati Radharani, then it becomes very easy. So our prayer is that may Radharani bestow her mercy upon us like this. So this is the vision. So it's all connected with this concept of drig, drishya, vichar. Now let's talk a little bit about the philosophy. This particular purport is nearly everything's in English. The term Rasa Leela is there, and the term gopis. Apart from that, there's no Sanskrit terms. So I'm going to give you a quick quiz, and I think you'll know the answers. So Prabhupada refers to expansions of the Lord. One type of expansion is self-expansions, and one type is called separated expansions. Thank you. Oh. If you see maybe the third sentence, the term self-expansions and separated expansions are appearing, yes? So what is the Sanskrit term for a self-expansion? Svangsha, yes. And separated? Vibhinangsha, yes. That's very good. Here's the next question. The next sentence is, the self-expansions are predominators and the separated expansions are predominated. So what would be a Sanskrit phrase for predominator? Purusha, yes. And predominated? Prakriti. Okay, that's good. Now I'm going to think of, that's good answers. I'm going to look at it from a slightly different angle. In terms of Shakti, there's two phrases that have the word Shakti in them. One means predominator and one means predominated. Shakti means predominated and Shaktiman, yes. So who knows, there's a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita that describes Radharani as Shakti and Krishna as Shaktiman. Anyone know that one? Please. Thank you. Can you go on further? Can you do the next verse after that? And the next one? Haribo! You can actually glorify devotees when the curtains are closed. Technically speaking, in Nectar Devotion, it's said that you shouldn't glorify people in front of Krishna because Krishna is the ultimate worship. See, this, his intelligence is just a little tiny spark of Krishna's intelligence. So he's never going to be proud because he knows that he will never be as intelligent as Krishna. He'll never know as many slokas as Krishna. So that's very good. So this is the... I'm just envious because I thought I was the sloka quoter until he came along. Now he's surpassed me already. And he's always in the corridor reciting slokas. Whenever he goes around doing any job he's like... And I'm thinking, oh, I'm 55 years old. My brain stopped working. And I'm like, I'm going to have to try and be better at something else then, you know. But that's very good because Trinada Pisanichana, he's helping me actually give up my false ego, so, although it's still there. But anyway, thank you very much. So anyway.
Shaktiman.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. So Shaktiman, the term man means possessor. So Shaktiman means the possessor of Shakti. And it's, as we're talking about devotional service, the power of devotional service, the pleasure of devotional service is so great that even Lord Balaram, he's said to be the Bhakti Abhiman Mula Sri Balaram. He's the origin of Bhakti. So where does Bhakti come from? It comes from Balaram. But even he, because he is Purusha, or he is Shaktiman, his power of enjoyment is so much greater than ours, and yet he still prefers to be the servant of Krishna. So there's two phrases of, there's two Bhagavans. There's one worshipable object of worship Bhagavan, and then there's servitor Bhagavan. So Balaram is servitor Bhagavan. What's the Sanskrit word for that? Sevaka. Yes, Sevaka Bhagavan. And Krishna, he's to be served. And there's a phrase for that. Which Bhagavan is he? Savior Bhagavan. Okay? So I've given you six phrases. You already knew them. We have Shakti and Shaktiman. That means predominator and predominated. Or we have Purusha and Prakriti. Prakriti meaning predominated, Purusha meaning enjoyer. Notice how in the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is described as Purusha, but that's because of the false enjoying spirit. Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhunkti Prakriti Jangunan. The Purusha, we can be called Purusha because we are enjoying material energy. But in Tattva, we are actually Prakriti. We are actually to be enjoyed, you see. Yes, Ashraya Vigraha and Vishaya Vigraha. So who knows what these words mean? Anyone remind me? Ashraya Vigraha. Ashraya Vigraha and Vishaya Vigraha. Yes, Ashraya means shelter. Vishaya means enjoyer, yes. Ashraya Tattva is an interesting phrase as well. What does that mean? The Shraya Tattva. Like Krishna's the shelter of everyone, he can be called a Shraya Tattva. Anyway, these are wonderful words. Okay, let's now talk about the darshan. I've spent the last half an hour explaining how we get darshan is by seeing ourselves as the object of Krishna's vision and praying for his mercy. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Siddharam Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Krishna's going to see us now. Haribo. So there's a phrase in this verse, madhvya. It's a beautiful word, madhvya. Even the sound is very sweet. It means by sweetness. It means by sweet. So it comes from the word madhu. Madhu means sweet. So we understand that Krishna is the sweetest of all the incarnations. So the term madhuram is often used to describe Krishna. Now there's a verse of Bilva Mangala Thakur from Krishna Karnamrita, which describes Krishna as Madhuram. Actually describes various features of Krishna as Madhuram. Madhuram, Madhuram, Vapur Asya Vibho. The first line is that the body of the Lord is Madhuram, Madhuram, very, very sweet. Madhuram, Madhuram, Vadanam, Madhuram. The face is even sweeter. So there's three Madhurams described for the face. Madhu Gandhi Mridu Smitam Etadaho. Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. But of the face, the parts of the face, the smile is even sweeter. It's the sweetest part of Krishna, Krishna's smile. Therefore it said, Madhuram, 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 Madhuram. Four Madhurams for the smile of Krishna. So when we see today's verse, there's a wonderful phrase, prema smitena, by the loving, smiling glance. See? So if we become pure devotees, if we actually awaken premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, if we awaken our darshan of the Lord through prema, through the eyes tainted with love, then we can actually appreciate that yes, Krishna is unlimitedly sweet, but his face is even more sweet, and his eyes and his smile is even more sweet. So recently I was giving the class on the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he is known as Naina Mani Manjari. And I explained that it's said that Radharani is the most beautiful of all the gopis, and her face is the most beautiful part of her. And her eyes are the most beautiful part of her face. And the pupils of the eyes are the most beautiful part of the eyes. So that beauty is manifest as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Nayana Mani Manjari. Because the mani, which means jewel, or it means the pupil of the eye. So Nayana Mani Manjari is the eternal form of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in Krishna Lila. So the most beautiful part of Radharani is her eyes, and the most beautiful part of Krishna is the smiling face. So I remember once, many years ago, Kadamba Kanana Maharaj was giving class here, and he explained how nature is the smiling face of Krishna. So I like to go for walks, and I find it's very uplifting. And I never really analyzed why it is, but then when I heard that, I thought, okay, now I get it. It's Krishna's smile. Krishna's smiling face. So when we go for walks, you know, if you go and you see the hills and the forest and the lakes, it's very, very beautiful, and it's a sunset. We can appreciate that. It's called Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga means I'm not able to see Krishna's Satchidananda form, but I can connect to Krishna through nature or through the wonderful things of this creation which I can connect to. So therefore, of animals, I am the lion, yes. Of bodies of water, I am the ocean. So I mentioned how I came back from India. So we went to the place where Jatayu's wing was cut off by Ravana. And it's on a cliff, and there's an ocean. And we went there, and it was kind of almost 12 o'clock-ish. And the sun was high in the sky. It was beaming down on the ocean. And I was looking at the ocean, which was spanning into infinity, it appeared. And the wonderful reflection of the sun was coming off, and there were some hills in the background, and it was just so beautiful. And I was reflecting, that is Vibhuti Yoga. We can experience the beauty of nature and then connect it. That's why the word yoga is used. We connect it to Krishna. So what are the other Vibhutis? Of wielders of weapons, I am Parashuram, is it? Ram, Parashuram. Actually, of holders of the bow, I am Ram. You know, some of these Vibhutis, there's more than one answer. Of wielders of weapons, you could be Ram, or you could be, of bowmen, you can be Lord Shiva. If you go to the Uddhava Gita, of bowmen, I am Shiva. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it's different, you see. So some of those, or of purifiers, I am air in the Bhagavad Gita. Of purifiers, I am water in the Uddhava Gita. These answers are, they're not, there's more than one answer, you know. Anyway, so these are the Vibhutis. So what we want to do, We appreciate the Lord in everything. Therefore, it's okay to go for walks in nature. It can uplift the intelligence. It can uplift our mood. But we should understand that our main focus is to hear from the sadhus. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvado bhavanti ritkarna rasayana kata tajoshina shashva bhavarga varpani shradaratir bhaktiranuk kramishati. Third canto, chapter 25, text 25, very important verse, that if we hear from the sadhus, what happens when we hear? We've already mentioned, when we hear, we will actually see Krishna. When we hear, we will actually smell the fragrance of his lotus feet. When we hear from the sadhu, then shraddha, faith, rati, which means attraction, and bhakti, in this context, bhakti means prema bhakti. You may wonder, this progression doesn't seem right. Why is it shraddha comes first, then rati, attraction, then bhakti? Because I thought bhakti is at the beginning. Well, actually, bhakti is throughout. But in this particular verse, bhakti, or acharya is explaining, bhakti means prema bhakti. So shraddha, rati, bhakti, anukramishati, faith, attraction, and then ultimately prema. This word prema, they all manifest, you see. And as I mentioned, it's important to get the philosophy right. So here's a question for you. Actually, before I mention this, I'm going to say something I meant to mention before. We mentioned three things, drashta, drishya, and darshan. We can likewise mention three things, gyata, knower, gyeya, object of knowledge, and gyan, knowledge. So I mentioned previously that in order for there to be seeing, there must be a seer and a seen. Likewise, in order for there to be knowledge, there must be gyata, knower, and gyeya, object of knowledge. So in the philosophy as presented by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he explained that the Mayavadis, they try and collapse those three into one. Gyata, gyeya, and gyan, they become one. Or drashta, drishya, and darshan, they all become one. And that is, as Prabhupada called it, the impersonal calamity. So this whole philosophy, which is central to the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, this drigdrishavachar, this is so central that if we collapse it, we end up with Mayavad. Therefore, in order to defeat Mayavad, we must preach this drig drishya vichar. And I'm basically what I've done today is I presented something that you already know because Prabhupada taught it in simpler language, but I'm just bringing in some of the technical terms that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati used. So this is the drig drishya vichar. So I'm going to end with a little hypothetical, which could be real. Actually, it is real often. You could be challenged. Krishna is supposed to be God, and God is moral. And therefore, Krishna's dancing with the gopis, which is immoral because they're married to someone else. So how would you philosophically, and you can quote Shastra, how would you defeat someone who made that claim? If you were challenged this way, what verses do you know that could counteract this? Yes.
Prabhupada often quote Janma Karma Chame Divyam.
Yes.
The activities of Krishna, just by knowing about them, we become free from birth and death.
Thank you. So the activities of Krishna are divine, right? So that is, therefore, his activities should not be seen as material, right? Any other verses? In particular, with Krishna dancing with the gopis. I'm thinking of one from Brahma Samhita, which our acharyas often quote to justify why Krishna can dance with the gopis. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bis tabirya eva nijarupataya kalabir goloka eva nivasat yatkilat mabhuto govindam adipurushan tamaham bhajami. The gopis are rasa chinmaya, or ananda chinmaya rasa. Ananda chinmaya rasa means they're of the same substance as Krishna. Yeah? Dui vastu bedanai. Remember previously we were quoting, or Prabhuji was quoting, Krishna Purna, Radha Purna Shakti, Krishna Purna Shakti Mam, Dui Vastu Bedanai, Shastra Praman. So Dui Vastu means Radha and Krishna are two, but Bedanai, there's no difference. Therefore, Shakti and Shaktiman are non-different. And therefore, because the gopis are Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, they are of Krishna's Ananda Chin, they're from Krishna's energy, and the energy and energetic are non-different, therefore they are one. Therefore, the gopis are not material, their bodies are not material, they're pure spiritual, and therefore they're emanations of Krishna. Rame Ramasho Rajasundari Bhi, Yatarbhika Sva Pratibimba Vibrama. It's described in the 10th canto that Krishna's dancing with the gopis is like someone playing with their shadow. Rame Ramesho. Here, Lord Krishna, he's described as Rama Isha. He is the Lord of the Rama Devi is the energy of the Lord. So he's the Ishvara. They're his potency. The gopis are his. They don't belong to their so-called husbands. They belong to Krishna. He created them. They are Ananda Chinmaya. You see? That is how we defeat this. And there's another verse. It describes how for a controller, we should not see the faults of a controller. Also in the 10th canto. Anyone know this verse? Yes, Ananta Ajuta, tell me. Maybe you can find it and give the translation. Anyone know this verse? Okay. Say it in front of the mic. Do the Sanskrit and the English, thank you.
Dharma vyatikramo drishta ishvaranam tasahasam te jiyasamna doshaya vahane sarva bhujo yatha. The status of powerful controllers is not harmed by any apparently audacious transgression of morality we may see in them. For they are just like fire, which devours everything fed into it and remains unpolluted.
Thank you so much. So it's very, very hard to be a manager. But if you're a manager within the international side of Krishna consciousness and you're trying your best and all this preaching is going on, then any faults you have will be very, very quickly eradicated because this service is so important and it's so difficult that anyone who engages in it, they make a lot of love spiritual advancement because you have to take that headache. Prabhupada said, what did he say? The society was a headache for him to manage. His desire was to pass on the management to his disciples and just write books, but he never quite managed to get to that point. So it's a headache. It was a headache for Prabhupada. And if it's a headache for a self-realized soul like Prabhupada, then what to speak of conditioned souls? So we should have, you know, a lot of respect and consideration for the managers because we don't really know what they're experiencing. And if they do make mistakes, then we should understand it's like their mistakes will be quickly eradicated because of the fire of devotional service, which will hopefully be magnified in their situation because they've taken that extra responsibility. So I'm hoping some of the managers are listening. Because I often get into fights with the managers, I have to say. I'm quite bad for that, actually. Hare Krishna. So on that note, I will stop and... Oh, Prabhu. We'll have questions and comments. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Govinda, for a wonderful class. Can you just say a little bit more about this not wanting to see Krishna? Because... like Prabhupada in his lectures quotes the Goswamis who are like, hey Radhe, Vrijadevike, where is Krishna, where is Srimati Radharani? Seems as though they're searching for Krishna.
Yes.
And then even like I was thinking in this Jagannath Ashtakam, that last line, Jagannatha Swamine and the Patigami, even the way we translate it is like, may Jagannath Swami be the object of my vision. So how does that all fit in with Trigdisha Vichara and not wanting to see Krishna? And what? So is there some deeper kind of thing that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is trying to convey when he's saying don't try and see Krishna? Is it like don't expect that you'll see Krishna?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, that's a wonderful question. And it's interesting because in the same chapter, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is quoting Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. And he says, in a disdainful way, saying, the karma kandas, they want to see Krishna. And they say this, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami Bhava to me. Which, so the plot thickens. This is, who has written this Jagannath Astakam? Shankaracharya. This is another where it gets really confusing now. Shankaracharya is saying, he's saying it, and he's Mayavadi, but it's his beautiful Astakam, we sing it, and it's described as Karma Kand by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So my understanding is in our devotional life we have our philosophical cap and we have our bhav cap. So when the bhav takes over, we pray to have darshan of Krishna, like the Goswamis. But when we're not on that platform, we're philosophically thinking, I cannot see Krishna with my fleshy eyes. Therefore, I pray that I may be the object of his vision and I may do everything in my control to become worthy of his vision. So if we have both, and both moods are correct, so it's a matter of what we actually experience. So if we can imagine someone may be thinking, I want to see Krishna, and in the advance, they become more advanced and they think, you know what, who am I to see Krishna? I'm just not qualified. I need to just, I'm actually going to clean the toilets at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and I'm going to try and, you know, act in such a way that Krishna wants to see me. And while doing that, if the person advances, they might come to the point of desiring to see Krishna, and it'll be a spiritual desire, and they'll be like, when will you manifest? When will I see you, Krishna? When will I see your beautiful face? And that mood is in forgetfulness. They're not thinking, oh, I'm not supposed to think that because that's not the philosophy, because they're not thinking about that at that time, because a spiritual mood has entered their hearts and then they're having that mood. So that's how I would answer it. And how would you answer it? It's like a mood and a philosophy. And we can think one or the other.
No, that's very useful.
Thank you.
I think it's also kind of like maybe the example of going back to Godhead. Is also like a similar one. Like in the beginning we're told it's a good desire. Then later on we're saying like you don't need to. But then it seems that even later on it is a desire of the siddhas who like, you know, pray, you know, kabe habe when will that day come and I will adore Radha and Krishna in the... So like sometimes people ask me, should you want to go back to Godhead? And I'm like, yes, no, yes. Because it just depends on what level you are. So it's maybe like, it's something similar like that.
Yeah, it's like that. And as we sing this Tulsi Puja, we're actually desiring to be a resident of Vrindavan. And then we're thinking to ourselves, I want to stay in this world forever and preach Lord Chaitanya's, pardon Lord Chaitanya's movement. You know, one of his disciples, Bhavananda, he thought Bhav means devotion. No, Bhava means material world. Bhavananda means someone who takes pleasure taking birth in this material world over and over again. And who would take pleasure doing that? The Parivrajaka, the preacher, you see. So we have this Seva Adhikaradi Koranijadasi or Nayane Haribosada Yugalarupa Rasi. We're all the prayers, we're praying to see the Lord, be resident. I think, if I recall, and I'm not sure where it is, I think it might be in the Sandarbhas, but this dilemma is discussed where it said, the devotee does not pray to go back to the spiritual world, but Krishna wants the devotee to go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, the devotee's not it's not the devotee's desire that's taking the devotee back to the spiritual world, it's Krishna's desire. So the devotee desires, I just want to do service to Krishna. That's the devotee thinking. And the devotee may want to take birth again and again to do that service, but Krishna wants to bring the devotee back. Therefore, Krishna's desire prevails. Therefore, the devotee may, I go, okay, Krishna, if it's your desire, I go back to Godhead, like that. That's how I would reconcile the whole thing. Prayojana Prabhu. Yes. Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahoytaki Vayi. Ayi Nanda Tanuja. Stita Duli Sadrisham Vichintaya. I just want to become a speck at your lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Thank you. Hare Bol. Okay. Doesn't matter. We'll do, now you're close by. We'll do both. Thank you.
I was just remembering Prabhupada says that for the neophyte devotee, it's essential to use his eyes to see the deities gorgeously decorated.
Mm.
So at least on that stage, you know, for
his devotional service.
Yeah.
And the eyes have not seen the Lord. They're like the eyes of a peacock plume. They don't work. Mm. They don't function.
Mm.
In the beginning of the class, you were explaining how the word kama is sometimes used for the gopis' feelings yes. for Krishna. Can you please explain that again?
So there's a verse in the seventh canto where it's, is it kama dvish? Say again. Kamad gopya, or gopya kamad. It's actually used from kama, the gopis became perfect. And then it's, I forget the verse, but anyway. Do you know the verse? And can you see in the English? Thank you. So this is the verse where kam is used to describe the gopis' lusty desires and also lust. Sometimes we say kam is lust and prem is love. But in this example, the word lust is used in English and kam is used in Sanskrit to describe the gopis' love. And here's another example, Kubja. Kubja had this lust, but then it became purified because it was lust for Krishna, you see. So as we know, we don't experience prema. So we have to have an analogy, and the closest analogy our acharyas come up with, it's like the relationship between a conjugal relationship between a man and a woman, but it's like that, but it's the opposite. So whatever romantic thing you may have experienced, if you then say that's something, a reflection of what the gopis experienced for Krishna, then you're on the right lines, you see. So then that term kama is therefore used in that connection. Is that okay? Haribol. Well, thank you all for your time. I think it's time for prasadam. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.